Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the How to Search and Apply for a Job Online conference call. Your host for today is Mr. Steve Neeson. Mr. Neeson, you may begin.
Thank you very much, Alma. Good evening, everyone. As Alma said, my name is Steve Neeson, and I'm the Senior Director of Employment Programs with the National Capital Chapter in Washington, D.C., and I do want to welcome everyone to the second call within our 2010 Employment Teleconference Series, How to Search for and Apply for Jobs Online. We would like to briefly thank EMD Serono for their sponsorship of this program, and the New York City Southern New York Chapter would also like to thank their Associates Committee for their sponsorship as well. Joining me this evening as our hosts are Barbara McKeon, who's the Director of Employment Programs and Services at the New York City Southern New York Chapter, as well as Christina Forrester, who's the Employment Services Manager for the Greater Delaware Valley Chapter in Philadelphia. The National Multiple Sclerosis Society is proud to be a source of information about MS, and our comments are based on professional advice, published information, and expert opinion, but do not represent therapeutic recommendation or prescription. For specific information and advice, please consult your qualified physician. And please know also that this evening's call is going to be recorded and would be available to you at the end of the series if you would like. So with that, I am very excited about this evening's call, as so much of job searching nowadays is done online. I know that in the work that I do at our chapter, I get asked all the time which job board websites are the best to use and why. When you do apply online, you so seldomly hear back, or you really only hear back very occasionally. It can be very overwhelming to search for jobs, and there are so many websites out there. Therefore, our speakers this evening will provide you with some great insight into which sites are the most effective to use and how to create an effective resume that will actually wind up hopefully getting to the recruiters. Just a brief housekeeping thing. Once our speakers have completed their presentations, there will be time for questions. If you do have questions, please feel free to jot them down during the call so you're prepared to ask them during our Q&A period. Please be sure to ask your questions completely, because we will be actually muting your line once your question is asked in order to allow us to get to as many questions as possible. We'll do our best to get to all of the questions, but if time does run out, Barbara, Christina, and I will give you all of our contact information so you can follow up with us after the call, and we'll do our best to get the answer. At the conclusion of tonight's call, we will be polling the audience in an event or in an effort to evaluate the program. This is a really short survey of only 6 questions. So if possible, please do stay on the line. We do always look for your feedback in terms of to evaluate the program and to plan future programs. So that being said, just a couple sentences about our speakers, and I'm going to turn the call over. Our speakers for tonight's call are Lori Daly and Eric Elmore. Lori Daly has more than 20 years experience as a recruiter, business developer, and client manager. She has held executive level positions within IT firms, working primarily in the federal arena, where she created, organized, and led the recruiting functions to support her division. She's currently with Northrop Grumman, specializing in university relations and recruiting. And Lori's, she is in the unique position of having worked with job seekers both as a recruiter and a hiring manager. So we're pleased for her to share her experience with us tonight. And Eric Elmore is a recruiter with 17 years of experience. He does hold a master's degree in human resource development from the George Washington University, and is a PHR certification from SHRM, which is the Society for Human Resource Management. Lori, I'm going to turn the call over to you first.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you, everyone, for joining this call. I just wish I could see you in person. It's true what Steve was mentioning. I do have a varied background because not only have I worked as a recruiter and a hiring manager, but I've also been in the position of looking for a job. So it gives me an interesting perspective. And I have been involved with Operation Job Match on their advisory committee for, I think, going on 10 years now and with the MS Society. So I'm just very happy to be here with all of you. Starting out on slide one, we've done our interview here. We're now introduced, I hope, and I'm just going to take a few minutes to just go through how people are generally using the internet for their job enhancements, their job searches, different techniques, and then I'm going to turn this over to Eric, who will discuss, you know, presenting your resume and the do's and the don'ts and different scannable tips. And then we have a very thorough appendix for you to take back along with all the sites that are presented here. And I might as well just mention now that the appendix includes different search engine tutorial links, online resource guides, security tips, especially with cybersecurity being such a real issue these days to be aware, and just different reference articles for your review, different books, and the books I'll say that are in this appendix are books I use to research information for this site, as well as, I was just mentioning to Steve before the call, a previous presentation I heard online myself several years ago on telework that I thought was excellent, so I'm going to discuss that. And then we have different cover letter references and resume references in the appendix as well. So with that, I'm going to move to the slide two. And I put up a magazine article, which was a little bit, you know, didn't mean to be a shock, but it was for me when I saw it because I thought, you know, this is very interesting. Leave now or risk getting laid off. And I thought, well, typically the time to find a new job, the best time, is before your old job goes away. But, of course, that doesn't always turn out to be the case with the way the changing times are these days. But even with that, when you sense that different things, it may be time to move on rather than waiting to start doing your preparation. Preparation, I'm on slide three now, is taking some time because, you know, the inclination is, gee, I'm going to just jump in and go to all these websites and search everywhere and then get lost in, quite frankly, what can be tens of thousands of pages out there, just more information. It's so hard sometimes knowing where to begin. That's really the hardest part. So one of the things that I've learned and also that's recommended from every website that I'm giving as an example in this presentation is to take the time to prepare the way and start thinking about what it is you want to do. It may be what you're doing now and you just want to move on, or it may be time to start looking at how you're going to transition your skills and understand what those marketable skills are. And then going and starting to pick really as few job sites as possible that you can, because again, there are so many sites on the internet that what you want to do is really limit your search so that you spend your time going after jobs versus spending your time looking at the website. And ideally, to start to look and target companies who do what it is that you would like to do. When I was doing some research for this presentation, I did come across some of the percentages of effective job searching, and it was interesting to me because one of the top percentages came about by looking at companies that do what you want to do and then going after those companies specifically, knocking, not maybe literally knocking on their door, but really going into their own website. And that had a success rate of about 69%. So I want to encourage that. And there is a website that I have listed on this presentation a little bit further in the back, but I want to give it to you now as well. It's www.bls.gov/OCO. And what this is, it's the Occupational Outlook Handbook. It's essentially a career guide to industries and occupations. So as you're starting to take a little bit of look about, geez, where am I going and what do I want to do, or even this is the field I'm in now and what's actually going on in the marketplace within my field, that's a very good website to target. Then I'm going to suggest having multiple targeted resumes. because I know, you know, for myself being in business for really actually more than, I have to, I'm going to fess up, more than 20 years. I want to be limited with 20. There are so many different areas that I worked in that if I were going to go after a new job, I would probably need to target my resume specific to the job opening to basically be able to give the recruiter insight to what it is I'm looking at and make sure that they understand what my skills are related to the position I'm applying for. So we just want to recommend that you have more than one type of resume. And then something I have here that may be obvious, but I'm putting it down anyway, and that's to be sure as you're going through your search that you have your own personal cell phone and your own personal email, that you don't use your any kind of company email. And there's, you know, personal free email via Google, Gmail, or Yahoo, or Hotmail, but that's definitely something to do. And then keep your network alive. Now, you know, this presentation is all about looking for jobs online, but the truth is, at some point, you need to really get away from the computer and just start going out there in public with people. Attend association meetings or join an association. Ask your friends and or colleagues to introduce you to others. Very often many church groups have actually job kind of hunting or job leads, but really to start to get out there and meet and greet, which, you know, is easier for some than others, but very important. And last but not least, to be cyber safe. Now, I won't belabor this in this slide, but I will tell you that in the appendix, there are definite articles and websites and tutorials on making sure that what you do is cyber safe, because your information, it's like an open handbook out there. So I just want to, you know, again, encourage you to go through those articles in the appendix and start to learn a little bit more about that. All right. So, and I apologize if I'm rushing through this a little bit, but we do have limited time, so I want to just get through it, you know, and I'll probably skip through a few things since you do have this package. I want to get to as much as possible. This next slide, self-knowledge equals clarity. I'm putting these two in there. It was actually part of an original presentation I did for Operation Job Match some time ago, and I know even in my company, we often take as employees personality tests or just basically the Myers-Briggs type indicator, because the more you start to understand about yourself, it's going to help you direct what you want for your path and your job. And actually, there's another one I'm going to add here if you want to make a note of it. It's called Path 101, and the website is www.path101.com. And again, it's a personality test, but what it does, it will help you figure out what your transferable skills are and what you can do with them during the next phase of your career. And unfortunately, I didn't include that in this presentation, but it's also a very, very good site. Okay, so slide 5, finding new jobs. And by the way, if you hear barking in the background, it's not me. It's 3 active labs, so but they're locked away. Anyway, so finding new jobs, the major internet job guides. Now, what I did is I picked 3 that I thought were really good. Again, at some point you have to narrow it down. And these are job guides. If you want to, it makes more of a sense to call them job portals. And I picked jobhunt.org, which is incredible. And that has a link to over 10,000 employers, job search resumes, guides, advice, cover letters, negotiation techniques, how to find jobs online. In fact, every job site that I'm going to give you here online, you could probably, if I had to pick one site to go to where you could find every piece of information, I would pick jobhunt.org. I thought it was actually incredible. And then the next one, jobhuntersbible.com. This was written by Dick Bolas, and it's kind of a companion guide to the book, What Color Is My Parachute? And that book, you know, I remember that book when I was in college. It's an incredible book. And he just keeps enhancing it every year. And what he did is he created this particular job hunting guide as a companion to that, and definitely worth going into. And then there's the Riley's Guide, which is basically, again, more career information services and provides links to other jobs and other counseling type services. These are three important links that if you had to just start somewhere, this would be the start to get an overall view. And on slide six, I just put up since this isn't really interactive, I just wanted to insert different screenshots throughout the presentation. And this is the first screenshot of jobhunt.org, where, again, you can see they actually have the whole job search tutorials, everything having to do with resumes, articles, book recommendations, all of that, and it just goes deeper and deeper, so a real value. The next slide, finding of careers. I just put this up as a sample, Simply Hired, because Simply Hired is you can either start with a portal like jobhunt.org, or you can start by using a more general job search engine. And Simply Hired is simply an example of one. It searches thousands of job boards, classifieds, company sites. It does advanced search options that includes the type of company, the location, the date the job was posted. And it's a little bit more of a general job board, not unlike some of the more traditional job boards like Monster and Career.Builder, which, you know, it has its value and it's a place for you to start. But, again, it starts zeroing in a little bit more. So the next slide, starting your research. Now, this one was, quite interesting, frankly, an interesting one for me because starting your research, what you want to be able to do is ideally maneuver around the web and be able to find whatever you need, and even moving from the more general subjects down to the more specific, but knowing how to do that. So I broke this down into just a few techniques, refining techniques, using phrase searches, Boolean operators, and then larger, more for browsing purposes, going into virtual libraries and the directories, and then getting into the very specific search engines, which will basically retrieve words that you insert for finding web pages. So if you go into the next slide, how to search, tips and techniques, what I want to do is just give you a little bit of an overview. Without belaboring this, but it's just I think it's important for you to know that the difference between the directories and the search engines, the directories are basically the place where you're going to find websites, and they're organized by subjects, and they're basically organized by people. Those are the places where you want to go to kind of browse overall information to find out and kind of explore a little bit. Where search engines like Google, and I think you're probably all familiar with Google as a major search engine out there, that is something that is it's run by a computer program. What happened in the search engine is that they use a tool that's called a spider or a crawler, depending on which book you're reading. And what that tool does is it prowls the internet. It creates a database of pointers to various web pages, and there could be millions, and we know that there are millions of those web pages. So when you come in and say, hey, I want to search for a business development job or a Mustang, but not a Mustang that's a Ford, just another Mustang, then what it's going to do is it's going to kick out the addresses to you from the index databases that has the information that's relevant to your request. So it's basically finding the index to the information. So what happens is, since this is a program and it's based on algorithms and different search engines could have different programs, and quite frankly, some are better than others or come up with better type results, and some actually may have to kind of adhere to some of their advertisers or sponsors that are online that include their web pages in with your search query. You need to experiment a little bit because you can control or have an element of control over the types of searches and types of results that come back to you, and that is done through how you put in your keywords and what order you put in those keywords. So it's just important to know that when you're doing your keywords and you're doing your Boolean searches that are the and the and not or the ors, that your keywords, the ones that are going to get the major results, need to be first. The first word gets the greater weighing, and then your Boolean searches will help you reduce and narrow down your search time, as will, in the next slide, as will using phrase searching and multiple keywords in your search query. So anything you enclose in a phrase, and in quotes, and in this instance I'm enclosing Operation Job Matching quotes, that if you put that in a search engine, it's going to bring back the specific website that matches that phrase that's in the quotes. So, you know, again, all of this is in the appendix and the tutorial, but it's just important for you to know how these search engines operate so that when you're asked to put in your research and your keyword, you know, gee, if I put this word over that one, it's probably going to bring back more results than the others. So, and this holds true. I'm on the next slide now, virtual libraries. The virtual libraries are more of the directories that are compiled by hand, and the libraries that I have listed here are just something that will be great for you to take a look at because it has a lot of up-to-date information, and it's just a way to for you to browse a number of different subjects, specifically in the areas of employment and careers. And I'm going to just go past that because we have so many more slides. I want to make sure we have enough time. But I did include a couple of screenshots on the library page that I have, which is the IPL.org. And if you note, on this particular screenshot, I put in as my query, top online job websites. So I basically made this almost like a phrase search, and this is the next slide down. This is the results of my query. And you can see it says top online job websites, and the very first one that came up is jobhunt.org. So it's partly, again, knowing that when you get into even one of these subject directories or even one of the search engines, that you have control about over what you want it to be, what you want pulled up from your query. And I just put in that, the next slide down, Yahoo, that's an old, tried and true. It's kind of a combination directory and search engine, but I'm going to go past that because we have a lot more. So now I'm on the job search engine. And again, we went through, I did show one of the job search engines, is Simply Hired, but again, the job search engines. Some of the best job sites are the traditional job boards like Monster and Career Builders, but others like, for example, Indeed.com, which is the first one on this list. It allows you to search many job boards, company career pages, associations, and other sites that list jobs. In fact, Indeed.com, it includes millions of job listings from thousands of websites. So it's something that I've found to be very effective, and from feedback I've received from job seekers, they found Indeed.com to be extremely effective. LinkUp is one I'm hearing a lot about that I haven't used personally, but I know people who have. It's another job search engine, and I have it on this list that uncovers unadvertised jobs listed on the company website. So it monitors thousands of small, like mid-sized and large company career sections to connect applicants with the unadvertised job. So it's another effective one. And again, everyone on every site on this list I've tested, and some I've used. I just think that these are all good sites to take a look at. And again, it goes from the larger listings to some of the more smaller listings. And probably I would even recommend once you experiment with these sites to even narrow it down more to maybe like tops a half a dozen. The next slide down is a screenshot of Indeed.com. And the reason why I included this screenshot is because I wanted you to see that it's a situation that here is Indeed.com as a search engine prompting you for the keywords. And based on the keywords or the phrase you put in there, basically what it's doing behind the scenes is creating its own Boolean search or phrase word search. But you, again, have control over this by making sure that the words that you put in as your keywords or even how you list the exact phrase, to experiment with it, because based on what you put in first and the words you use, you may get different results. So, I would say most of the search engines these days that are job search engines do give you a little bit more help in putting in your keywords and phrases. And then another one along the same lines, which has been a very useful site for really everything, not just jobs, is about.com. That's the next slide. But I'm going to move to the niche job sites, which I believe is slide 18 on your list. And these job sites, some of these, I've gotten some one of the books that I've listed in the appendix, and others. This is an example of some information transfers, but others I put in from a seminar that I listened to, I believe it was several years ago, on telework and finding the telework job sites. And the person, just so I give her the proper credit here, I believe her name is Christine Durst, and if I did get that wrong, Steve, correct me after we're done.
That was right.
That was right. Okay. And it was really a wonderful presentation. And, I ended up sending her information around, and I'm hoping that the same happens with this. But these particular job sites, for niche job sites, for example, Creative Hot List is an arts, creative arts website. Burryman is the writer's website. Rat Race Rebellion is a work at home website, but it's a list of jobs by type, mm-hmm. and then there's a lot of the telework positions, sites for doing medical transcription like MedQuest, TeleReach is a website for doing appointment setting, doing lead generation, and all of these are not necessarily like full-time jobs, but she did her due diligence as well in looking at these sites to see what was real and what wasn't, and what was going to be, a non-scam, all right? And I've looked at them as well, and I've passed them on, so I would recommend going into those niche job sites. The next slide down, slide 19, I did include www.disabledperson.com. I think that this is an excellent website because they also show their jobs by category, like finance, engineering. And in addition, they have, I found to be very, very useful articles on employment and disability and the ADA, as well as going into compliance rules and regulations, disability and veterans, temporary staffing. So I would definitely recommend taking a look at this site and just spending some time there. And then, of course, I put for myself the next slide, which is slide 20, the job site 40 plus. So that's for people that are over 40. And it just lists a number of wonderful opportunities, and it really is a job site where you can just start selecting the location and the category and then go from there. And then I included on the next slide nonprofits, bridgestar.org. I thought that this was a very interesting slide just to give you a little bit of a different perspective. It's a not-for-profit job, a guide for jobs and also board positions. And then what I did is I went by industry, and the book that I really referenced probably the most for this, and then I spoke to a number of people, and I also checked out all of these websites to see what were the most effective. But I used the book, and I have this in the appendix, Guide to Internet Job Searching, because what I liked about that book is they broke it up into market categories, for business, for engineering, for personal services, recreation, government, public policy, and these are just a few, and I mean a few, of what they have listed there in every category and in every state. But I liked what they did have listed there because I thought that these were very good sites, and some of them were a little bit unusual. For example, Cool Works, I thought that lists thousands of summer and seasonal jobs. So But you know, again, depending on what your background is and what your industry is, this is a place to start. And I would recommend that particular book, Guide to Internet Job Searching. And this is an example of the next slide, www.engineerjobs.com. It's an example of, again, a very specific slide, a specific site to a specific industry, which will link you up with the right jobs and also other resources. And also, you know, recruiters. Typically, these sites that are on here, that I've listed on here, recruiters are looking at that. And they want to be able to find you as much as you want to be able to find them. So I would take advantage of that. And then the next slide, again, the next couple of slides are really more the work from home website links that I think would be very useful to you. So I'm just going to leave that. I mean, you're going to get these. You should have all these links. And I'll move on. But again, these are good sites and indicative of the companies that have been named as the best work-from-home companies. So, and Rat Race Rebellion is the site I mentioned before, which is really Christine's site where she's done all of her research on homework. And I recommend doing this because if you are interested in telework and working from home, one of the key factors that came out, at least in my experience and also from her presentation, is the fact that there are many scams out there. And I mean, I know I hear them all the time on TV, make $1 million and all you have to do is, you know, go into my website and whatever, and you don't want that. So this is a good site to really, really find out what's going on and what's for real, what isn't, and in the various categories, labor job categories, accounting, engineering, and so on. And then I have telework recruiting.com screenshot, again, just to give you a little bit of an idea of what's out there. Now, although this wasn't necessarily part of the focus for this presentation, I did want to include, too, a couple of sites that I found to be very, very useful, and that's for finding salary and benefit information for when you do either change jobs or find a new job. And again, I have here the www.bls.gov. That I mentioned that in my very first slide. That is the Occupational Handbook because that gives you current industry updates so you can know and have a sense of what's going on out there in the marketplace and be well informed. And then these are excellent salary and pay scale type websites. And I did include a screenshot for payscale.com. Because I thought that in particular was a really, really good one. You know, it's one where you can actually put in your email and set up a password and get information, as is true, by the way, with a lot of the other job sites that I have listed on the previous slides. Many of them allow you to put in your email link and for you to set up specific job criteria so you can start getting jobs in your email, job alerts in your email. And that's true for probably just about every one of the links that I had on the search engine slide. Trying to think which slide number that is right now, but again, it's the search engine slide, which was pretty much up front. And then with that said, the last slide for this piece is on the social networking. Now, that's not really the focus, again, for this presentation, but when we talk about networking, the reality is networking offline, you know, when you're getting in front of people, but it's also networking online and starting to build your contacts. And what I did is I list just what are considered to be some of the best LinkedIn groups for job seekers. And really using LinkedIn.com as your means for social networking, that is really the main site. I mean, I know there's Facebook and there's this Twitter and all of that, but I would just really recommend for professional networking to use LinkedIn. And again, that whole social networking is probably a presentation in and of itself, but I wanted you to at least have the main sites for you to go in and take a look at that. And these are considered the best for job seekers. So with that, I just want to conclude this part of the presentation and turn it over to Eric, who is going to speak with you on resumes, resume preparation, and do's and don'ts, and then we'll open it up for questions. So thank you. Apologize, it's a little rushed, but there's a lot of information here. So thank you very much. So Steve, I think we can turn it over now.
Okay. Eric, you there still? Okay, perfect. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, still here. Lori, thank you. That's quite an impressive collection of resources. That's a great resource to start with. I want to talk about your resume's proper, your resume itself. What is it, and what is it intended to be? It's a document that encompasses your credentials, your qualifications, you know, and with that, your various skills and such, a summary of your work experience, and a target for where you want to go. It tells a story. It is a calling card, so to speak, that, you know, has to exist for a record to be created. Most companies now have applicant tracking systems, which is a software package of one sort or another, that parses and scans your resume, not only looking for keywords, but building a profile of you. And what I want to do is help you to format your resume in such a way that it'll be accepted and not kicked out. I get resumes all the time that have no email address, no phone. I've even gotten some that have no name. So you want to make sure that those basic components are there to pop your resume in your header. I don't recommend setting up a header as in Microsoft. I also don't recommend putting in text boxes or any other web objects that might throw a scanner or a piece of software that's parsing your resume looking for first name, last name to plug into various fields. We don't want to throw any of that for a loop. So we want to keep it simple, clean, straightforward. Do put various phone numbers. Make sure you put yourself, put your home or office or wherever your primary preference for being contacted is. You have to put an email address. With many softwares, a record can't be created unless there's an email address to build that around. You want to pay attention to the skill identification that Lori alluded to earlier and, you know, build a history of those skills and don't overlook their transferability. In other words, you might have gone to a seminar or gone through some training and at the time, that might have just seemed like something that you had to do for work. If there is transferability there, you know, builds and strengthens your credibility as an employee in a particular area, by all means, do work that into the body of your resume. You'll notice in the information that Steve sent out, I've got really a laundry list of do's and don'ts. I have to say that, you know, there's some things that are just deal breakers. They'll end your job search with a company quicker than anything. One of those is, you know, you don't ever want to misrepresent or lie on a resume. That is a do not, you know, at all costs. You just don't do it. I've seen people do that and come back to haunt them. Another, just as a bit of advice, when you're completing applications or various other application documents, if not the primary application itself, that a company might require of you, you see a lot of times people write "see resume" on the application. You really want to fill the application out in its entirety. It's kind of communicating to not only HR, but the hiring manager you might be meeting with that you can't follow directions. That you're gonna do it your way. So you want to fill that out in its entirety. Don't look for the shortcuts necessarily. You want your resume to have a focus. I see resumes very often that have a collection of work history, events, qualifications, and they're so disjointed. And I look at the objective, and there's no law that says you have to have an objective. It's good. Summary sometimes is a better way to package that communication. And what it's telling the reader really is, you know, this is what I'm qualified for, and this is what I'm targeting. You want to be focused. Another non-starter is a resume that you review and it looks like the person will just take any job at all doing anything, and there is no focus to whatever they're looking for. So zero in on what that one or two jobs, and as Lauren mentioned earlier, it's perfectly okay to have more than one resume. They can be closely related. One might be geared more towards contract work, whereas one might be aimed at full-time employment. And that's perfectly fine. On average, a recruiter or hiring manager will spend less than 1 minute with that resume. The average is 43 seconds. People tend to scan. They scan, they pull out what information they need, and they're trying to quickly arrive at a decision. Is this worth going the next step with? Is this worth bringing them in for an interview? So you want to make that space count. There is no cardinal rule about you want to try to stick to 2 pages, but there's been rules about the one-page resume. You want to try and be concise in every aspect of your descriptors about your employment history. Well, Steve, I think that's most of the high points.
Perfect. All right. Thank you both so much. I've myself have learned so much and have all sorts of websites and then things that I can share with the members that I'm working with in terms of with the resume prep. So, Lori, I know that you were referencing some of the appendix information throughout the call. So I guess if it's good with both of you, we'll open the floor for a Q&A.
Oh, absolutely.
Great.
Sure,
thank you both.
Sure.
Okay, operator, I think we're ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press the number 1 key on your phone. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press the number 1 key on your phone. Our first question comes from Tina. Go ahead, Tina. Tina, please go ahead with your question.
Tina? All right. Is there another one in queue?
Yeah, hello?
Our first question comes from Linda. Go ahead, Linda.
Hi, this question's for Eric.
Yeah.
Hi. Regarding resumes, I had my own company, and I've closed up this year. So now, I was always nervous about putting between the gaps from where I finished working in a corporation to going on my own. Now, should I list that on my resume to know that, you know, between these 3 years I've been out working for a major company, that I did go on my own? And now,
no, by all means, list it. I have a similar situation myself. And, you know, the way I usually handle that is you can't get around listing that you're self-employed, you know.
Right.
Supervisor to contact? You. Yes, by all means, go ahead and list it. A good way to deal with it when it comes up in an interview is, I went out on my own, hung out my own shingle, and I really didn't like being my own accountant, my own scheduler, my own, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Our next question comes from Teresa. Go ahead, Teresa. Teresa, please go ahead with your question. Oh, man. Our next question comes from Nancy. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes, for Lois, I wanted to know what the last website was that you mentioned.
I think you're referring to LinkedIn. Is that for the social networking? I believe that was the last one I spoke about.
I don't remember. Say that again.
LinkedIn.
How do you spell that?
Okay. It's L-I.
Uh-huh.
K.
L-I-N-K.
N-K. LinkedIn.com.
Okay.
And it's slide 31 in the packet. And the other sites that are on that slide are the best LinkedIn groups for job seeking.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Phil. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, how you doing? I was just curious how we get a copy of the presentation/appendix. I didn't get one. I guess it gets mailed to you. I didn't get one. I was wondering if there was any way to get it.
Yeah, you should, your local chapter was sending, you should have sent you the information. Where are you calling from, Phil? And I can do some follow-up. This is Steve.
North Jersey, Morristown.
Okay, New Jersey, Morristown. Okay, Barbara, would you be able to pass on an email to your contact up there?
I sure will.
Okay.
We'll make sure you get it, Phil.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Greater Delaware Valley Chapter of MS.
Our next question comes from Mary. Go ahead, Mary. Mary, please go ahead with your question.
Oh, I was just asking whether or not I could have information sent to my attention regarding all the links and job sites you've been talking about.
Sure, Mary. Which chapter are you calling from?
Greater Delaware Valley chapter.
Okay.
Christina, you? Christina Forrester.
Yeah,
okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
Mary,
hello?
Our next question comes from Dina. Go ahead, Dina.
Hi, I just wanted to know what kind of follow-up you should do after you send your resume online, if there is any.
That's a great question. Would either of you know how best to respond, Lori, Eric? What is your experience or your word of advice on that one?
I think it's a matter of the closer you feel like your background and your skills and everything that you put together on your resume fits
mm-hmm.
that job, the stronger your conviction should be about following through.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with calling and inquiring.
Okay.
And but you have to be cognizant of the fact that a lot of times jobs are advertised and there's no intention of filling them.
Right.
Government does this all the time, or companies do this sometimes,
mm-hmm.
for a variety of reasons. You know, they legally have to, or they're just collecting resumes for when they do get hit with a tidal wave of work. But, yeah, the closer you feel like you fit that job, the stronger you should pursue it.
Okay,
and I absolutely agree with that. I really do. Definitely keep following up because, as Eric mentioned, sometimes, quite frankly, your resume may not make it to the mainstream because people, the recruiters, have so many resumes that they're looking at that it may even be a little bit of an oversight, so it doesn't hurt to follow up.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Paula. Go ahead, Paula.
Hi, this is Paula, and this question is for either Lori or Eric, whoever would like to answer it. I am looking to get back into the job force. I left probably back in 1998 as an administrative assistant. At the time, I was using Microsoft Word, and PowerPoint had just kind of become real popular. You know, I have basic skills. I'm wondering if there's anything that I am missing on my resume that you know, whether I need to go for training for to get up to speed. But I've sent out what I think is a pretty decent-looking resume, and I don't even get a nibble.
Well, I'm going to start with it because I'd almost have to know more about what you're going after and what your resume looks like. I will tell you that sometimes, too, when you're looking for a job, that it does help to target your resume as much as possible to that job. And if you have been out of the job market, to start to build some volunteer work, if that's possible, because those are skills. You know, maybe I'm paid, but that doesn't matter. Those are still skills. So it really depends on what it was you were applying for and taking a look at your resume.
And this is actually
I actually had an insight there too. I would take a look at the most recent software that's out there. Right now we have Windows 7. Take a look at the suite that's the most recent and versus what you were working in. There have been changes. Maybe look at taking a refresher class at a community college or something like that.
And this is Steve. I think I was just – actually, you've both covered the points that I was going to take. I think what is important when there may be a break in work history on a resume is figuring out what types of activities, volunteer work, community activities that you've been involved with that might be able to fill some of those years, but then also definitely looking at the training, whether it's through community colleges or your one-stop employment center or your state VR agency that might be able to fund some additional training. So that way then what a potential employer is going to see is that you have this current software knowledge, the current technical experience, and that it's, you know, kind of what have you been doing since leaving the workforce 12 years ago? Again, I think, you know, like what, you know, Lori said, the volunteer opportunities, community involvement, those are things that you've learned from that you can put on a resume that will fill some of that gap.
A perfectly acceptable answer is, and I see it all the time, I left the workforce for a period of time to raise a family.
Mm-hmm.
And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Do we have any more questions? It looks like that we might be able to take one or maybe two more questions before we're at the top of the hour. Alma?
Our next question comes from Kathy. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi, thank you. this is to both of our speakers. I am the leader for a support group specifically focused on people who are still working and have MS. And I would very much like to be able to take the presentation materials to the group and the people who attend the group and share it with them if that's okay with you.
Well,
that's my
fall into that category.
Yeah. Ditto, and that's okay.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. And then I guess, you know, I'm an advocate for honesty when you're applying for a job. There are times, though, where you might be overqualified for a job. You're not looking to take just anything, but in the current economy, you sort of need to take something. What do you? How do you handle that when someone is having difficulty finding job either because of their age or because of their qualifications are above what's being asked for in the application?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can take a stab at this. You know, if you're applying for something and you're listing what your skills are for that job, I think it's okay to list what your skills are for that job. I mean, you know, in terms of you not getting the job because of your age, that's illegal. But as we all know, even when we're dealing with the world of disability, illegal or not, sometimes it happens. They just don't necessarily tell you that that's the reason. And I, as far as it being overqualified, I've just always felt that you could apply for a job, and I've seen it happen, where you're applying specifically against the skills that are required for that job, that, that you know, every single thing you've done in your career doesn't necessarily have to be presented, but you need to present what's required for that job and be honest with your skill level, but let them know that you may be overqualified per se, but
it's perfectly fine to refer to the economy too.
I agree with that.
Employers are very understanding. I mean, for the most part, the good ones are. But you know, be upfront and say, you know, look, given this economy, you know, I realize that I probably would wind up a notch or two above whatever this position is, but I'm willing to take this, work at it, and prove that I'm an asset to your organization.
Thinking maybe that we might have time for one more question, Alma, if there's one more in queue, and then we'll finish up.
Our next question comes from Margaret. Go ahead, Margaret.
Hi. Actually, I was going to ask a question about the website, so it's already been answered. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. It does look like that we are at the top of the hour, so I think we want to try to finish as close to on time. So before we do, though, go to the polling and before we kind of give our final thanks to our two speakers this evening, I know that Barbara and Christina and I did want to share with you our contact information just in case we didn't get to your question. You can feel free to get in touch with one of us. So, Barbara, I'll let you start.
Okay, great, Steve. My contact information is B. McKeon, that's B-M-C-K-E-O-N, at msnyc.org. And my telephone number is 212-453-3218.
Great, thank you. And Christina?
Hello. My contact information is Christina, with a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, dot Forster, F-O-R-S-T-E-R, at eae.nmss.org. And the phone number...
Go ahead.
Sorry. The phone number is 215-271-1500. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. And my phone number, this is Steve Nissen, 202-296-5363. And my email is snissen, N as in Nancy, I-S-S-E-N, at msandyou, it's msandyou.org. So again, if we didn't get to your question or if you do have any follow-up questions for us, please don't hesitate to get in touch with one, two, or the three of us, and then we will then either try to respond on our own or forward your question on to your local chapter. So I just want to thank Eric and Lori for joining us tonight and for giving up the Thursday night. And thank you so much for sharing all of this wonderful, wonderful information. And I think it was so informative. And again, I know that I am going to be checking out some new sites tomorrow. So thank you both so much.
Thank you. Really appreciate being here.
Yeah, and my pleasure. It was very rewarding.
Great. And everybody, could just stay on the line for just a couple minutes. We do have six brief questions in order to pull tonight's call. So just stay on the line.
Okay.
Okay, Alma, we're all ready.
Our first polling question. Are you currently working? Press 1 for yes. Press 2 for no. The poll for this question is now closed. Please hold while we prepare our next question. Our next question, how would you rate the speakers? Press 1 for excellent, press 2 for good, press 3 for fair, press 4 for poor. The poll is now closed for this question. Please hold while we prepare our next question. Our next question, how would you rate the content of the program? Press 1 for excellent. Press 2 for good, press 3 for fair, press 4 for poor. The poll is now closed for this question. Please hold while we prepare our next question. Our next question. As a result of this teleconference, I gained clarification into techniques to use when searching for jobs online. Press 1 for strongly agree. Press 2 for agree. Press 3, agree somewhat. Press 4, disagree. Press 5, strongly disagree. The poll is now closed for this question. Please hold while we prepare our next question. Our next question. As a result of this teleconference, I learned about new job posting websites. Press 1 for strongly agree, 2, agree, press 3, agree somewhat. Press 4, disagree. Press 5, strongly disagree. The poll is now closed for this question. Please hold while we prepare our next question. Our final question. As a result of this teleconference, I have a better understanding of how to format a resume to be easily scanned by computer software. Press 1 if you strongly agree. Press 2 if you agree. Press 3 if you agree somewhat. Press 4 if you disagree. Press 5, strongly disagree. This concludes our polling. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating.